In a few minutes, when we recite the Creed and make anew our profession of the one holy Catholic and apostolic faith, we will say, somewhere towards the end, "He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end." The He is, of course, Jesus Christ. And what we profess about Jesus' second coming is a foundational component of the Catholic faith, just as crucial as our beliefs that in Christ God became man, or that the Son of God rose from the dead. But because this foundational component, the second coming of Jesus Christ, is in the future and not in the past, I'm not sure we consider it that way. The future, after all, is hazy and unknown, and you don't want to build a foundation on what is unknown. The past has a certain concreteness to it, and concrete is a much sturdier substance to build a foundation. But today, of all days, it's worth considering, and I'm going to say it frankly. Jesus Christ will come again. There will be a time when time will be no more. A day is coming that will know a dawn, but not a dusk. Someday, all that you see, this church and what's in it, this world and what's in it, it will all be consumed with fire. Creation as we know it is groaning with labor pains, awaiting the birth of a new creation, the creation that bears the full fruits of redemption and exists in the fullness of grace. Our Lord and our faith tell us this. I'm afraid, though, that many of us, myself included, aren't exactly looking forward to this day of days, this great and terrible day when the Lord Jesus Christ returns to judge the living and the dead, the world and all it contains, creation and all it contains. I'm afraid that many of us, myself included, kind of like this world as it is. Yes, there are warts, and yes, there are things that sometimes go badly, but I'm afraid that many of us, myself included, aren't awaiting the consumption of all things in fire with eager anticipation. The second coming of Jesus isn't something that many of us, myself included, really want to happen. And so it might sound strange. It might sound bizarre. It might sound unthinkable to hear that among the earliest Christians, the ones who received the faith from the apostle, perhaps their most consistent and constant prayer was Maranatha. Maranatha is an Aramaic word that means "come, Lord." But it's more than just an invitation, and it expresses more than just a belief about what will happen in the future. It's an imperative. Do this. An urgent plea for the coming to happen, and to happen now. Strange as it might sound to many of us, myself included, the earliest Christians didn't dread or fear the Lord's return. They wanted it to happen immediately. Every moment of delay was an eternity. Come, Lord Jesus, and come right now. I'm telling you now, Jesus Christ will return. It's not for me to say when. That's above my pay grade. But just as sure as you're born, Jesus Christ will return in glory. It's certain. What's uncertain, and what each of us, myself included, have to sit with is whether we are prepared to welcome the Lord when he returns or not. Each of us, myself included, have to figure out not whether the Lord will return, because he definitely will, but whether we want him to return or not. Each of us, myself included, have to decide if we want him to return right now, at this moment, without an iota of delay or not. And if any of us, myself included, are in the not camp, we have to ask ourselves why. I have to ask myself, if Jesus Christ is really the Lord of my life, why am I not ready and willing for him to return as the Lord of all that is? If Jesus Christ is really my Savior, why am I not ready and willing for him to return and deliver the fullness of salvation? If Jesus Christ is really my friend, why am I not ready and willing to welcome my friend into my midst? Part of it, I think, has to do with the unease any of us has about the future. I don't know what it will be like, so I don't have anything but my imagination telling me what it will be like. And imagination is a fragile and temperamental thing. I fear the possibility of change, of pain, of things being different, so I want them to stay the way that they are, because I know them the way that they are. That's a part of it, but it's only a part of it. Another part, a much larger part, is that I don't want Jesus to return precisely because he is not the Lord of my life, because I do not look to him as Savior, because he is not my friend. I'm afraid that I don't want Jesus Christ to return as King because my life already has a King, thank you very much, and that King is me. That King's will is my will. I don't want Christ to return because when he does, I am subject to him, and I'd rather be subject to no one but myself. I do not rejoice in going up to the house of the Lord because I'm quite comfortable in my own house, and I don't want to leave that house. It's mine, after all, and I'd rather rule my own house than be a guest in someone else's, regardless of how lavish. All of this, unfortunately, is part of the mystery of iniquity with which we each struggle and from which we each need to be saved. St. Augustine addresses this tension within our hearts in a commentary he wrote on Psalm 96. And if this tension is in your heart, know that you're not alone. Augustine was preaching about this over 1,600 years ago. He said, "He who is without anxiety waits without fear until the Lord comes. For what sort of love of Christ is it to fear his coming? Brothers, do we not have to blush with shame? We love him, yet we fear his coming. Are we really certain that we love him, or do we love our sins more? Therefore, let us hate our sins and love him who will exact punishment for them." Today, the church proclaims with the boldness of a trumpet blast both that Christ is King and that the King is coming. That proclamation makes many, myself included, uneasy. So let's take St. Augustine's advice. Wait without fear. Yes, the Lord will come. Yes, that coming will change things, everything to be exact. But that change isn't just for the sake of difference. Everything changes not just for the better, but for the best. The return of the Lord doesn't just put to flight, but it puts to death all that is opposed to him and to his kingdom. So today, on this solemnity of Jesus Christ as the King of the universe, may we join ourselves to the prayers of all of those who have gone before us in the church, all those men and women and children who sought the Lord's face and are now enjoying it. May we pray and really mean it. And I really mean it. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus.